Well, she sneaks around the world, yet to Carolina. She's a sticky finger filter from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on the Mosaic China. Tell me where in the world is
House of Ed Tech, episode number 45.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Klein from Class Dojo, and you're listening to the House of Ed Tech podcast with Chris Nessie.
This episode of House of Ed Tech is made possible by HelpHub.me, the internet's premier online tutoring marketplace. Welcome to the House of Ed Tech podcast. I am your host, Christopher Nessie. And the House of EdTech explores how technology is changing the way teachers teach and the impact that technology is having in education. My objectives include discussing technology that is changing our classrooms and schools and sharing tools and tips that you can hear about today and use tomorrow. I talk to teachers, leaders, and creators like you and have them share their stories. The purpose? Whether you use it or not, technology is changing the way we teach and how our students learn. Coming up in this episode, again number 45 of the podcast, I have an EdTech thought where I'm going to be reflecting on my experience at the NJPA ESET 2 conference. I've got an EdTech recommendation that is not going to come from me, so you need to stick around and see who is sharing an awesome EdTech recommendation later in this episode. And of course, I've got a House of EdTech VIP. My featured guest and conversation in this episode is with Jen Williams. She's a fantastic individual who is passionate about global education and the value of global education. And she works for Calliope Global down in Florida. And we're going to be talking to her in just a little bit. A couple of big announcements for the Education Podcast Network, of which this podcast is a proud member of. Two new podcasts are coming to the network. The first, which I announced this week, is the Edu Road Trip podcast, hosted by Greg Bagby, Justin Birkbickler, and Mari Venturino. We are very excited to have the Edu Road Trip as a member of the network. So you can head over to edupodcastnetwork.com to check out their show, or you can go to eduroadtrip.blogspot.com. And of course, there will be links to their podcast in the show notes. If you haven't checked it out, it's a really awesome show that takes on the premise is that they are on like the old VW bus traveling around the country, interviewing people. And it's really cool because they correlate who they're talking to with a significant location here in the United States. And they make that correlation really well in each episode. So they have some great content. Definitely subscribe, rate, review, and support what they're doing over there on the Edu Road Trip podcast. The second podcast that is now a member of EPN is Always a Lessons Empowering Educators podcast, and that is hosted by Miss Gretchen Schultek, and that can be found at alwaysalesson.com. And Gretchen's podcast is all about picking up educators, and she speaks to, in each episode, different groups of educators, whether you're a new teacher or a veteran teacher, and she's covering important topics in education, and she's putting her own spin on them. Check out that podcast as well, Always a Lessons Empowering Educators. You can get to it by going to, again, the EDU Podcast Network website, or you can head right over to her website, which is alwaysalesson.com. And welcome to the EPN family, Greg, Justin, Mari, and Gretchen. As I record this episode, it is September 26th, and you're listening to this hopefully the first day it comes out, the 27th, maybe the 28th. If you're listening to this before Wednesday, September 30th, Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, is International Podcast Day. That's right. There is a day for podcasts. It's really cool. This is year number 2 of International Podcast Day. And last year it was just National Podcast Day. But the originators discovered, hey, podcasting is global. And that's something we've always known. So they rebranded it very quickly after last year to International Podcast Day. The reason I'm mentioning it to you here on the House of Ed Tech is because on Wednesday, September 30th, at about 8:30 Eastern, we're looking at 30 minutes to an hour, We're going to be doing a live podcast PD over on blab.im. So that is a special edition of Podcast PD with myself, Stacey Lindis, and AJ Bianco. So we hope that you can join us. If not, if you're listening to this after September 30th, you can go over to blab.im/MrNessie, M-R-N-E-S-I, and you can watch a replay of the conversation. And as always, you can join us at any time by using the hashtag PodcastPD on Twitter. So come check it out, meet some podcasters, share your thoughts on podcasting, and let's spread the word about this awesome art form, which I am a huge fan of, as you know. Enough about all of that. That's all the announcements. I'm really excited. Now let's get into the conversation that I had quite a while ago, but I'm finally glad it's coming up here on the show with Jen Williams. Jennifer is a former director of education, program literacy specialist, and district speech-language pathologist who's currently a co-founder and lead program developer for Calliope Global. Jennifer works with schools, universities, and organizations from around the world as a transformational leader in education. She empowers teachers and students to learn and explore together as digital composers in common learning spaces. Today, she speaks, writes, and consults on educational practices that develop global perspectives through creative uses of technology. She is also a co-founder of both EdCamp Tampa Bay and the widely popular hashtag ReadForFun Twitter chat. She is inspired every day by teachers and students that are the catalysts for making the world a better place. Welcome to the House of Ed Tech, Jen Williams.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I've very much been looking forward to it, especially in our podcast PD chats each week. So I've been gearing up.
I have been looking forward to it as well, because you are, like AJ Bianco and Stacey Lindis, you are like the pusher behind Podcast PD. So that's very exciting that we can finally chat.
Absolutely.
But enough about Podcast PD. Let's talk all about you. Talk a little bit about your early career and how you got to where you are now with Calliope.
You know, I've had quite a journey in my professional career, and it's been very varied, actually. But I've always been the type to dream really big. So it's funny, even as a child, when people ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? I had big dreams and I couldn't just pick one. So, but when most kids, at least here in Florida, wanted to be a dolphin trainer or a veterinarian or president of the United States, I was very clear that I wanted to be a teacher and a doctor and an astronaut. And I had a very detailed plan on how I could make that work. So I would, I had hoped to be a teacher during the school year. And then in the summer months, I would be a pediatrician. And on winter and summer breaks, or winter and spring breaks, I would be an astronaut. But I quickly found that that really would not work out. So I put all of my efforts into education. And then I went on to get my master's in speech language pathology. I worked as a reading specialist and then moved on to administration. So I was the director of education for a school for children ages 1 through grade 8. And within that school, I was able to really fine tune my my why as an educator, I would say.
And now I would be a bad podcast host if I didn't say, what is your why? Why education? Why did you give up on being an astronaut?
Yeah, well, I really still want to be an astronaut. You know, I talk a lot about finding your why with students and with pre-service teachers. But for me, my why is really developing learning spaces that can allow students to share their stories. And so Calliope Global was kind of a leap of faith and allowed me and my colleague, Fran Siracusa, we have very similar passions, and it's enabled us to move forward and really just be curious learners. So we're able to follow our passions of connecting students globally and promoting engagement and innovation and sharing of those stories.
Now, I think part of that engagement that you mentioned is you're very engaged in tools like Twitter. How did you become so involved with Twitter and things like Read for Fun and some of the other things you're doing with social media?
Well, it's funny because for so long, I was hesitant to jump into Twitter. And we can talk about more with Read for Fun, but it wasn't that, I mean, I think all of us in education are busy, and to say that we don't have time, we often say that, but I wasn't making time for Twitter. And then this past January, I mean, I had a Twitter account for several years, but I just kind of was turned off by what I thought it was, which was kind of the social media of other different areas that I had been familiar with. So I just kind of shied away from it. And then this past January, I was at FETC, which is the EdTech conference here in Florida. And I said, you know what, this year I'm really going to try and jump in. And so when I was at that conference, I started talking to different educators. I got their Twitter handles and then I jumped in. So I went from like 100 followers and following in my PLN to like, I think I have like over 3,000 now. So it took off. It was amazing. But by far, it was the best professional development I've had in my entire career.
Why is it the best professional development?
I think because, first of all, it's customized. Like I have people that are like-minded, people that have similar passions and share similar interests that I do. For me, it's almost a utopia within such a short time period. I mean, I can put out, like a year ago when I wanted to connect children on Cinco de Mayo with kids from around the world, I would have had a plan for weeks and weeks and weeks and look for a classroom with an innovative teacher. Now I can do it in 5 minutes. So, I mean, it's extraordinary. I'm blown away. And now that has become one of the things I speak about most is really developing, your PLN to inspire you as an educator. It's transformed me without a doubt.
Because again, we're all just people. We're all teachers and we're all in it for the kids. I mean, that's what I believe. So for me, it was, I have a voice and I want to put that out there. So Twitter was one of the things. In addition to my wife saying, you need something to do to start and, you know, create.
You need an outlet.
I did need an outlet. Absolutely. Because yes. I would get into trouble otherwise.
Right. That's good. It keeps you focused and grounded.
And it keeps me off the streets.
That's true.
Now, you mentioned that you are part of Calliope Global, which you are a co-founder of, one of the brains behind it. What is it? What do you guys do?
Calliope Global, what we do is we do professional development. We organize global projects. We connect students. We connect classrooms. And like this June, last year we went and visited students in Madrid. And so we've kept that conversation going. And those students are coming here to visit us in Florida. So, and we're going to have this great trip where they're going to discover Florida through technology. We're going to have QR code scavenger hunts for them through nature and science. So it'll be really cool. But we kind of have our hands in a lot right now. We didn't really know what to expect, but it's just kind of taken off quickly. So it's been a wonderful journey for us.
As you've gone through this journey, what's been the most rewarding aspect of it for you so far?
You know, I feel like we're able to do things the way we envision them. Like we want to change the landscape of what learning looks like, and we're able to actually do that.
And it's definitely a good time in education to, again, those buzzwords, collaboration, tearing down the walls. I think that's what it's all about, because I don't think there should be walls in education. So you mentioned Classroom of the Future. Future Ready is a big initiative. I've had Tom Murray on a previous episode. What does the future classroom look like to you?
Well, I think a lot of it's very personalized. I think it looks different for every single learner. Honestly, if a learner is hands-on, they're outside, you know, creating podcasts on how to do what they're passionate about. So their classroom is going to look very different from another. I think there's a lot of flexibility in that classroom of the future. I think it's, you know, it's digital and it's not digital. The teacher is a facilitator, and a lot of the relationships where they're looking at the world that are applicable to them and finding creative ways to solve those problems.
I'm just taking my own break so that way this is the kind of stuff that comes out. what I want to ask, I just had it and I was listening intently, so then it flew out of my head.
You know, it'll come right back.
It will. Hold on. Oh, okay. The classroom that you describe, do you share the same sentiment that I believe for myself, which, hold on, it's been a long day. Hold on.
I caught you off guard. I think I caught you off guard.
Everybody catches me off guard. All right, here's what I'm getting at. Jen, I want to know if you share the same sentiment that I do. I wish I was a student today as opposed to when I went through school, because it seems like there is so much more available in terms of what kids are doing, being asked to do, and some of the opportunities that are available. Agree or disagree, and expand on it.
I agree very much. I think a lot of it has to do, I had a family growing up that always encouraged me to take risks, think outside of the box. Sky was the limit. So I feel like I customized my own education growing up. And when I was ready to move on and do something different, I did it. So I'd never felt those constraints, truly. And every day, oh my goodness, I was, I had the most extraordinary experience of guest, I don't want to say guest lecturing, because I didn't feel like I was lecturing at all. Facilitating a discussion with a university class in Augsburg in Germany. And every day I sit and listen to what they're doing. And I'm like, I want to be a part of this class. Like, I wish I could go back and learn. And there's still so many things I would love to know. Like, I wish I could take world history courses. My son, my high school age son, he is doing world history right now. And I'm like, oh, I want to be there. I want to be doing what you're doing and learning in the way that he is learning. But yes, I'm a constant, you know, I constantly want to be a student and want to be learning.
So I guess that's where the phrase lifelong learner comes from. We talk about 21st century and we talk about imagination and creating. What are some of the things and tools that you use in your role with Calliope, or some things that you share with students and teachers? So to sum that question up, what are some of your favorite tech tools?
My favorite tech tools depend on what my purpose is. But right now I'm doing a lot of global collaboration with universities and with students from around the world. I'd say one of my top is Nearpod, and I've been using it for a long time, but now I'm using it in a different way. And Nearpod, if you haven't used it, it really allows you to bring the class to life. And with these interactive presentations, so it'll take your PowerPoint, which is great and has a wonderful purpose, but you embed it into the application and then you can share it out. So like several weeks ago when I was doing the guest lecture with the university in Germany, it was 5:45 a.m. I'm in my kitchen and I was Skyping with them. And I had my presentation and I was able to, they had the download code and they were able to see what I was talking about. So if I wanted to share a website with them, it brought them right up to that screen. So it was interactive. They were able to respond. There's polls, surveys, video. It was something that I had never seen or done before. So Nearpod's definitely at the top of my list. One that I'm really excited about right now that I know a lot of educators are is Periscope. And I think that the possibilities with Periscope, are endless. So I'm really excited to see what happens with that in education and the way teachers find to use it in their classrooms.
I've really enjoyed experimenting with Nearpod myself, and of late, as I've been going to different conferences, periscoping, you know, sessions that I've either been in as a participant or as the presenter. So I'm having a lot of fun with Periscope as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing in the unconference world, which would include EdCamp Tampa Bay, which I appreciate that you keep inviting me, but I just cannot get from New Jersey to Tampa for a day in October.
Oh,
I would love to. Maybe we can work out some sort of virtual session.
That, you know what? We absolutely can do that.
That Stacey, AJ, and I can do together. We will do our—
I need it. Yes.
We'll do our podcast, Power of Podcasting, virtually.
We're signing you up. It's official.
Oh, they're going to hate me for this. Actually, no, they'll love it.
Yeah, poor Stacey. I keep signing her up for things all the time on Twitter. She's like, stop already.
Like, here, start a chat. But we'll get to that.
There's another one for you. No, this is something I am absolutely thrilled to be a part of. It also, like, my passion for Twitter came from FETC, as did EdCamp Tampa Bay. So I was there talking to my good pal, Tanya Avrith, and she was heading to another EdCamps are big in Florida right now. I mean, it's wonderful. We have a really nice group of about, I'd say about 10. And so she was heading to one that weekend and we couldn't go, but I immediately started researching and what is this, you know, movement all about? And I was hooked. So, Tampa Bay really, really is calling out for something like this. So we started organizing. We had such a great response, and it quickly came together. So that will be in October here in Clearwater. And it's, you know, to be able to bring that voice, the voice of the educator to a conference like that, it's just wonderful. We're also hoping to really empower the voice of students and parents at our Ed Camp too. And we really want to keep it very authentic and focused on the original goals of the first Ed Camps too. So it's really fun. You know, it's just everything we're doing. It's not even like work. It's just fun.
I 1,000% agree that it's just fun, and it's a new kind of fun in this profession. Now, when you said that there are like 9 or 10 like Ed Camps and they're very popular in Florida, I find here in New Jersey, I've had discussions with other people. When you say that they're popular, do you feel like there is an oversaturation? Because sometimes I feel like here in New Jersey, New York, and like into Pennsylvania, it seems like there could be an Ed Camp every Saturday for 52 weeks that you could find someplace to go every couple of weeks. What's it like down in Florida?
You know, we all work, collaboratively. I think we've done a nice job of spreading them out both in distance and in time. Not to say like the more the merrier, but I do love that there's opportunities for connection, in people's backyards. There isn't an oversaturation, but, I think there are a lot, but we are all learning together. It's very, you know, it's relatively new. So we're all trying to find the best way to organize them. But right now it's perfect. It's an exciting time for Ed Camps in Florida, and also Ed Camp Global. That's another one I'm part of that is really unique and special. And that one is virtual, and I'm part of the planning team for that. And that one's in July. So I'm excited to see what comes of that. I know that they have like 1,000 participants already registered. It really is a movement, I believe.
And with Ed Camp Global, I need to finish registering because I'm only registered for about 900 of those 1,000 or so sessions.
You know, it's so fun. I'm in Florida, the majority of the organizers are in Texas. And then Sean is also an organizer and he's in North Carolina. But the Texas crew, they are having it. This is too cool. They're having a slumber party. It will be, you know, it's a 24-hour event. And so they're going to stay up for 24 hours at a makerspace that they've connected with, and they're going to have just a big party, and they're going to have a dance party. Like, it's just going to be fun.
I want to see what that.
I told them I either will need to open or I will, need to make my own here in Florida because I never want to miss out on all that.
I want to see what that Ed Camp Global dance party looks like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, Sean will probably be the DJ, and or you might want to jump in there.
Oh, virtual DJ. You know, I have a DJ name.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I know about your Superman name, but I don't know about the DJ name.
Well, you have now sparked something that I haven't yet shared on the podcast.
Oh,
so
this is new.
So here is Chris Nessie's DJ name. I have been from time to time known as DJ Slice and Bake.
Slice and Bake.
Because who doesn't love a good slice and bake cookie?
An original, I have to tell you.
Yeah, there is no copycatting here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I won't take your name.
I mean, there are multiple Chris Nessies out there, but I, like Tigger, am the only one.
This I believe.
And that's a good Disney reference for the state of Florida.
That there you go. Yes, exactly.
I know,
right? Seriously, I know. My husband, he's like, you need to stop the Diet Coke. Now he has my 9-year-old daughter. You need to stop the Diet Coke. And I'm like, not yet. That's next on my list.
There you go. You got to have lists.
I have lots.
So, Jen, in addition to doing Ed Camp Tampa Bay and running a worldwide organization in Calliope, we talked about Twitter, but you also are involved in Twitter in terms of hashtagging and Twitter chatting. And your Twitter claim to fame, that as far as I know, if you can share others, is the hashtag Read for Fun Chat. Talk about Read for Fun.
Oh, I hear Read for Fun and I get a big smile on my face. It's just
and she's not kidding, folks. She has a huge smile on her face.
It is such a happy, bright and shiny spot in my life, honestly. But how it came to be, it's a really special story. So over the years, as I've been finishing up my doctorate, I read all the time, research, reading, studies, data. But over the years, I found that I lost my reading identity of reading for pleasure. Not that I don't get pleasure out of reading research, but, you know, it's different.
You don't have to lie.
So this year I was in March, I was turning 40 and I was thinking, okay, what do I want to do? You know, where reflecting on my journey. And, so I said, you know what? I was a reading specialist. All I'm doing with my students is telling them, you need to read. You need to have a love of reading. But I wasn't a really good model of that anymore. So I woke up one day and I said, I don't normally like post things on Twitter, like personal questions like that. But I put out a tweet and I said, does anyone have any ideas for books to read for fun? And immediately I got a tweet back from Sean Gaylord and he said, actually, yes. And he started giving me recommendations and he said, I've really been wanting to reconnect with my reading identity too. And then soon after, Lena Marie and Connie jumped in and together were the four co-founders of Read for Fun. And like, it was magic. And we took the conversation off of Twitter to direct message. And the next thing you know, we're texting and Voxing. And then so that was in the afternoon. By that evening, we were all at the bookstore getting books and sending each other pictures. And we were like ignited. It was totally cool. And then we said, but if we're going to keep this up, because we know we're very busy and we know we want to make time, we're going to need to support each other through this journey. And we said, okay, how about the four of us meet on Twitter each week? It was just going to be the four of us. and we'll call it a chat between the four of us. And so the next day, we got back right on Twitter. We were all excited, and we got back on Twitter, and we started writing messages again and said, okay, well, how about next Sunday at 7 p.m., we meet? And then over the week, like, we're tweeting about it, and people got excited. And then, oh, my goodness, we got to our Twitter chat, our Read for Fun Twitter chat, and it wasn't the four of us. It was like hundreds of people, and it trended. So we were awed and inspired and blown away and felt like we were going to throw up and cry and hug each other all at once. Like, we were just like, okay, we have to meet. We have to figure this out. So then we said, all right, let's make this happen. And so it went from us planning to meet for 15 minutes. Okay, that first chat, we were going to meet for 15 minutes. I think we met together with our wonderful group for an hour and a half. And then the next week we said, all right, at a minimum, we have to meet for 30 minutes. So, and it's gone strong ever since. And these people, it's amazing. And unless you're in the Twitter world, I don't think you can understand it. And I know you absolutely can. But these people become your friends. They become your family. They become part of you. Like, they're crying with you at sad moments. They're happy with you for happy moments. Like, these are my friends. And it has been a great ride with Read for Fun. We've just entered into summer, so we're last night was going to be our first slow chat that we were going to put out a question, and then, you know, people have the week, but the people spoke and they didn't like that, so they actually had our official first slow chat that wasn't a slow chat at all last night. So it's been wonderful.
I do have to agree. I am not a fan of the, oh, we do it every week, and now we're going to take our foot off the pedal. So I'm not.
No, they said no, we want to keep talking. So we will. We are going to leave it open for the whole week on one question. But we all have too much fun together. So I foresee us talking every Sunday night at 7 with all of my Read for Fun friends.
I could see if the hashtag was Read for My Dissertation and you want to slow that down and drag it out. No. But you guys are having legit fun.
You just wait. Maybe I'll make a podcast on that.
Well, that was going to be my next thing, is when are we going to get the Read for Fun podcast where you and your co-hosts start to podcast about reading for fun and basically like a podcast book club and promote it.
Right. I could absolutely see it. I mean, I'm in my belief of connection and sharing stories, and as a speech pathologist, communication, I really do see the power of voice. And I think it adds, I love Twitter and tweeting, but hearing a voice, you know, it really makes it very, very personal. So Read for Fun is big on Voxer. We'll see what happens with it. I don't know.
You have my vote of confidence and support to start a podcast. Maybe we'll
want everybody to start a podcast. All right, I know that.
I believe in it 2000%.
Yes.
So maybe we'll see who wins the race to a podcast, you or Stacy first.
Yeah, she's got my vote. I'm really rooting for her. She's another one of those. It's just a true, true friend. So I would love to hear her talk about truly anything.
I will let her know that.
Yes.
And actually, while we were talking, I put a message out to them again. Hey, I've got Jen here. Can we get, you want to come in for a little bit? But they're running and dissertationing and grad working.
We're friends. What?
I know. It's not the best way to spend a Monday night.
We're on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, I mean, we have learned a boatload about you, and you have shared so much. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really, it's an honor to be here, and I love that you share such important stories, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
There is no story more important than the story I share in any given episode. So thank you, Lois Lane.
Oh, called. Yes, exactly. I'm so happy you brought that up. That is my DJ name, Lois Lane.
Oh, DJ LL. I love it.
LL. Yeah, that might stick. I don't know. We'll see.
So before I let you go, how can people reach out to you, connect with you, and learn more about what you're doing and how you can help other people?
Absolutely, through Twitter. People can find me there. I love connecting and talking. CalliopeGlobal.com. You can find me there and send me a message and see more about what we're doing. We also have some exciting global projects coming up for next year. So I would love for anyone to reach out and to connect.
Now, when you mentioned Twitter as the acceptable form of reaching out, your yes. Twitter name is what?
Okay, so my Twitter name is Jen____Williams. It's not my favorite, and I had hoped to change it, but now it kind of I think has to stick. But
so there was actually a Jen_Williams, a Jen__yes! Williams.
This is nothing new for me though. You Jennifer Williams going through life. I was a teaching assistant in a class at UF, and there was another teaching assistant in the same class with the same name. So this is the story of my life.
All right, Jen Williams, thank you so much. And we will 100% talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Jen. I'm so glad that you came on to the House of EdTech. And again, best of luck with EdCamp Tampa Bay. I just put in my proposal for myself, Stacy, and AJ, and we might be selected to do a virtual session. If you didn't know, Stacy, AJ, and I all live in New Jersey. We're not able to get to Tampa Bay, so we might be presenting a session at EdCamp Tampa Bay on October 10th, virtually via Google Hangout, or we'll be doing it via blab.im. Also, real quick, to correct, because I recorded that interview prior to today, obviously, Jen Williams has changed her Twitter handle, and her current Twitter handle is Jen Williams EDU, JenWilliams EDU, and the show notes will reflect her current correct Twitter name, which again, she did change since we recorded the conversation. And now, my EdTech thought. This episode's EdTech Thought is going to be my NJPA ECET2 reflection, or as I like to call it, the Alphabet Conference. On September 19th and 20th, 2015, I had the honor and privilege of attending the NJPA ECET2 conference. ECET2 actually stands for Elevating and Celebrating Effective Teaching and Teachers. For the second year, this event took place at Raritan Valley Community College in Branchburg, New Jersey. This conference is all about a deep commitment to growing, nurturing, and leveraging the abilities of each individual educator in attendance. They provide a convening experience where the sole focus is on using the combined power of each invitee in the room to strengthen individual pedagogy, knowledge, relationships, and trust. And this was the case from my arrival on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. That's right, this was a very early start to a conference. It was a two-day event, which was really cool. When I got there, I was greeted by familiar faces like Natalie Franzi, Kate Baker, Steve Figarelli, and Glenn Robbins, and some new faces who I only knew from Twitter and had brief interactions with, like Barry Sadie, Catherine Sook, and Liz Calderwood. I was escorted to the Grand Ballroom to my assigned table. The purpose of the assigned table was to foster new connections and interactions with other passionate educators, which was quite different and really cool. Funny sidebar, earlier in the week, I had seen that Lavana Roth was going to be present and speaking both days. Now, if you're not familiar with Lavana, she's from Florida. I thought about tweeting her to express my excitement to meet her and learn from her, as I've been a follower and an admirer of her work for some time, but I never did send a tweet. I get to my table, and who is already sitting at my table? Lavana Roth. Lavana is super nice, sweet, and so authentic and down to earth. We instantly became table buddies. I'd also like to take a moment to thank you, Lavanna, for teaching me how to not only wobble on Saturday night, but also for teaching me how to do the Cupid Shuffle cowboy style. My second sidebar is a huge, huge shout out to Justin Schleider, also from New Jersey, fantastic phys ed teacher, who is playing music on a huge portable Bluetooth speaker in the hotel lobby. And that supported me in my efforts to start an EDU karaoke session. A lot of fun. Part of the value of events like this is the ability to not only meet new people for the first time, or for the first time in person, but also in seeing people you already know. The Ed Justice League was out in full force, and I am thankful beyond words for having Stacey Lindis, Danny Kennis, Adam Schoenbart, and Chrissy Romano in my life as friends and colleagues. AJ Bianco is also on this short list, but he wasn't able to attend. Hashtag minus AJ. The session that Stacey and I presented was The Power of Podcasts and Twitter for Professional and Personal Development. I'm going to embed the presentation in the show notes for this episode over on chrisnessy.com. Just look for episode number 45, and you could check out the presentation, which talked all about podcasts and Twitter, had podcast recommendations, and some other really cool information that you need to go and check out the presentation for. In addition to this scheduled presentation, I also ran two unconference sessions on Saturday. One was on how to podcast, where I took the continued podcasting conversation from earlier and just enhanced it and did a lot of how-to and made some gear recommendations that would be great for teachers and the classroom. The second was on my new favorite toy, blab.im, and how to use that in the classroom as well. The other sessions that I attended were EdTech Collaboration Tools and Strategies for Digital Curriculum Creation with Kate Baker. Great session. If you ever have the opportunity to see Kate Baker or any of the following people I'm going to talk about speak, make sure you attend their sessions. They are all dynamic, and their presentations were phenomenal, and they are so, so smart and have such great ideas. The second one was called Changing the PD Model in Your District with Rich Siz and Kristen Ducker. They talked about basically how you could bring the EdCamp model to professional development in your district, which was really, really cool. And the third session, which was, I'm not going to lie, was my favorite, was called PD, the SAMR model using social media. And this was with Justin Schleider. You're going to hear from Justin in a few minutes because, spoiler alert, he is providing the EdTech recommendation for this episode. Very awesome session. He had a lot of great tools and kept all the participants really engaged. If you ever have the opportunity to go and do a session with Justin, please, please do sign up. Don't think about it. You're going to have a great time. And the last session I attended for the weekend was called, it was a discussion on the digital divide, and that was with our good friend Talia Arbit from EdSite. The food was great at the conference, and the House of EdTech meetup was also a success, as 10 of us enjoyed a great Italian dinner at my cousin's restaurant, which is also conveniently located in Branchburg. It's called Trattoria Uno on Route 202, if you're ever in the area. Another great highlight came while the sun was just coming up, as Danny Kennis finally conducted a true hashtag Pancake PD. Danny, Adam, Stacy, and I, along with our new friend, Ivana Panacea, held court at the Bridgewater Diner. Special thank you and shout out to Adam Schoenbart for recommending peanut butter and chocolate chip pancakes. What a combination. Winner. There were also a number of great keynote speakers at the event, including Baruti Kafele. You might know him as Principal Kafele. And by the way, Principal Kafele was previously on an episode of Principally Speaking with Jason Bodner. You can listen to that episode over at principallyspeaking.com. I used blab.im on my iPad during his keynote to broadcast and record it, and I will share a link in the show notes for the video, so if you'd like to hear Principal Kafele speak, you could check that out over on my blab.im page. The closing keynote at the event was given by Jamar Mills. He's the principal of Malcolm X Shabazz High School in Newark, New Jersey. I was able to connect with Mills' message since I also work in an urban school in an urban district. Now, to be totally transparent, I could share the names of the other speakers, but I'm going to be honest, I was not engaged in their presentations because they happened during mealtimes. If this sounds like a complaint or a pet peeve, it is. I'll be honest, I'm really turned off by mealtime speakers at conferences, pretty much regardless of who it is or what their message is. Honestly, I would rather that mealtime be given to me to have conversations with people that I can't have during sessions. For example, my Ed Justice League friends love going to different sessions, dropping notes in a shared Google Doc in a folder, and then talking about what we learned at lunch or what we're looking forward to over the rest of the day. Give us that time when we go to conferences. I really don't think that's too much to ask. Let us eat and talk in peace. To end this thought on a high note, I can't speak highly enough about attending professional conferences and events, whether they are traditional, on conference, or a little bit of both. Get out there and make connections with actual people who share your passions and know what you might face in your classroom or school. If you work in a great place, share the stories of the why and the how it works. If you're in a place that isn't on the cutting edge and you're having a difficult time, network and meet other people who can support you and help you think you're not the only one dealing with problems in education, because you're not. We all deal with problems in education. And to borrow a way of thinking from Principal Cafele, you've got to turn up your PD, you've got to turn up your conference attendance, you've got to turn up your professional learning, you've got to turn up your personal learning network. That's my EdTech thought. And now for this episode's EdTech recommendation. Take it away, Justin Schleider.
Hello, this is Justin Schleider, physical education and health teacher from Springfield, New Jersey. I author, write the blog slowchatpe.wordpress.com and run the slowchatpe hashtag on Twitter as well as the slowchatpe Voxer group. I'm here today to give you an EdTech recommendation. One of the really cool websites I saw via Jared Robinson is called bingobaker.com. And what's cool about it is it's an interactive bingo board that's online. You don't need an app. You don't need to pay anything. You can write words in the box. You can bring pictures in the box. And while you're teaching or running your professional development or whatever it is you're doing, you just click on the box whenever that comes up. So you can use it in class in a variety of ways. You can put whatever lessons you're doing. You can have that in there. So let's say you're going to talk about Thomas Jefferson and the years and where he lived and whatever else. Each one of those could be a bingo box. As soon as you say it, kid would click on it. When they get bingo, they would shout out bingo, and they get some kind of prize or accolade for that. Professional development, same exact thing. You can run whatever you're talking about. As you hit it, they click the box. Now they're engaging. They're really listening because they want to get their bingo. You could have some sort of prize as well. So again, bingobaker.com, free, awesome site. I highly recommend it.
And I'm just going to jump in here at the end. Justin, thank you for doing this live because we are here at NJPAECET2, better known as the Alphabet Conference. And we had a great time today. I was in Justin's session today using Sammer for PD. And Justin, you were a very dynamic presenter, and I really enjoyed your session.
Nice. Thank you. Appreciate you chiming in. And when we talk about a master chef from Nicholas Enlick's creation, I mean, that's what your podcast is, by far a master of the masters. So I appreciate being on this.
Thank you very much. And we will at some point go past you just doing a little segment here, and we'll get you on a full episode, and we'll go deep into who you are and everything that you're doing. That's awesome.
Nice. I don't know how deep you want to go. It gets a little scary in there. So we might not want to go too deep if it's going to be on permanent record, but anytime I'll be available, sir.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Thanks again, Justin, for taking time at the Alphabet Conference to sit down and share an awesome tool that you used in your presentation. Make sure you all check out Bingo Baker. It's really cool. And if you ever want to share an EdTech recommendation, go ahead. You can send me SpeakPipe. You can send me a Vox. You can send me an email with some audio. You can send me a text email. That's cool. If you want to share something that I haven't talked about or that people should know about, let me know. Go to chrisnessy.com, contact me, and let's get your voice here on the podcast. And now let's take a look at this episode's House of EdTech VIP. Congratulations to Mr. Barry Sadie. Barry Sadie has been in education for 14 years and currently teaches fifth grade in Bernards Township, New Jersey. Prior, he taught second and third grade. Sadie is on the New Jersey State Board Affiliate of ASCD and he was on the 2014 ASCD list of emerging leaders. And he's the former co-director of the New Jersey chapter of ASCD's North Region. He has written over 30 articles on leadership for various online publications and for Education Week specifically. He is a member of the New Jersey Department of Education's Educator Leader Cadre and presents on instructional shifts within education with the advent of the CCSS, the Common Core. Sadie is a member of the Gates Foundation Teacher Advisory Council and serves on the Student Achievement Partners as New Jersey's core regional captain. You can also join Barry most weeks on Twitter. He's at BarryKid1, and you can participate in his weekly ESET2 chat, hashtag ECET the number 2, and he co-moderates that on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. And here's one more nugget about the awesome Barry. He happens to be the first student intern for the USA Today sports section, because back in the day he wanted to be a reporter and be in the news. So that's a pretty cool nugget. Make sure you connect with Barry. Again, he's BarryKid1, BarryKid, the number 1 on Twitter. And you can check out his blog at sadiestories.blogspot.com. And that's Saide stories.blogspot.com. Thanks for a great conference, Barry. And congratulations, you are a House of Ed Tech VIP. Well, this was, as I said, quite the jam-packed episode of the House of Ed Tech, brought to you once again today by HelpHub.me, the internet's premier online tutoring marketplace. Over on HelpHub.me, you can connect with expert tutors 24/7 and instantly get the help you need. Or, as an educator, you can become the help that someone else can use. Let's keep the conversation going. Visit the website, chrisnessy.com. Over on the website, check out the show notes for this episode, number 45. And I would love your thoughts on the information and resources shared in this episode. Leave a comment on the show notes, or you could email me, feedback@chrisnessy.com, or you can also leave audio feedback by calling the House of Ed Tech listener feedback line. The number, as always, is 732-903-4869, or you could connect with me on Voxer. My username is Mr. Nessie, and that's also my Twitter name. Connect on Twitter. Use the hashtag House of Ed Tech, and let's chat about all things that are awesome here on the podcast and in the world of ed tech. Now, in each episode of this podcast, I usually ask you to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, and many of you have graciously taken the time to give the show a 5-star rating, and the written reviews have been so wonderful and encouraging as I continue to create content with you in mind since I started the podcast. But I learned recently that ratings and reviews are not the be-all and end-all for me as a podcaster, or for you as a listener. Don't get me wrong, I still value ratings and reviews, but the one thing you can do to help put the House of Ed Tech front and center for real and help other people to discover this content is to simply tell other people about the podcast. Yep, old-fashioned word of mouth. If there's another teacher in your department or at your school, or that you're connected through social media with, tell someone else about the show. Use the hashtag and tell people what you enjoy and why they would like to listen to it. And of course, you can also please submit your 5-star ratings and positive reviews. You can also support the show through patreon.com, and that's over at patreon.com/houseofedtech. Jeff Herb is from Instructional Tech Talk, and he is my valuable patron, and perhaps you will consider joining him in supporting the podcast financially, or if you consume other content, perhaps you will consider supporting the creation of other awesome content for people who also use Patreon. On the next episode of House of Ed Tech, I'm going to be speaking with and sharing my conversation that I had with Megan Davis from GoEnounce.com. And GoEnounce is a really cool website for students that builds a LinkedIn-like profile and takes it to another level. I'll be releasing episode number 46 on October 11th, 2015. Till then, happy trails, and thank you for listening. Remember, using technology isn't difficult. Just give it a try. The House of Ed Tech is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more, go to edupodcastnetwork.com.